What's up, sports fans? You are tuning into the Oregon State Orange Media Network sports podcast, and we have a lot to go over today. As I said before, we have a lot to go over this week. We have the women's volleyball schedule just got released. We have the women's gymnastics schedule just got released. And unfortunately, women's basketball has another postponed game. I am your co-host, the Swiss Army Knife, Andres de los Santos. And if you normally listen to our Oregon State Orange Media Network podcast, you know that my other co-host, Brady Akins, who is here virtually next to me, you know normally that he does an intro, but today he gave me the opportunity to introduce myself. Brady, you want to introduce yourself?
I would love to. And I just want to say, fantastic job.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
Fantastic intro. It's not easy introing a podcast.
It's not.
It's your first time. This is your first time. And
yeah,
I really
my first
think
time.
You brought the heat and you knocked it out of the park. Hello, everyone. I'm Brady Akins. And I think that we wanted to flip the script a little bit. We're going to let Andres kind of take the lead on this one because it's a gymnastics-oriented podcast this week.
Yes, gymnastics-oriented.
And you had the distinct privilege, the distinct honor to actually attend the first Oregon State gymnastics meet of the 2021 season.
I did, and that was huge. Just being able to – well, first of all, the fact that there's a gymnastics meet during a pandemic – you know, and then second of all, being able to attend it, I think that's a huge honor. And I was really glad that I got the chance to go because I didn't miss the sport. You know, that's one of the gymnastics is one of the few sports where doesn't get talked about a lot. It's one of the oldest sports out there. Doesn't get talked about a lot. Doesn't get a lot of love. And I think it's one of the coolest sports on campus. So I'm really glad that I got to go and cover it because, yeah, these ladies do deserve some type of coverage.
I guess we're just jumping right into it because I have a lot of questions, actually. I feel like this is going to be like almost like a Q&A. Like, I'm just going to sit here and kind of pick your brain a little bit. Kind of behind the scenes of what it's like attending an actual live sporting event here and still in COVID times. My first question is just, what is it like being at a gymnastics meet where so much of the sport is surrounded, like, about energy and creating your own energy and creating, grabbing energy from the fans? What's it like without fans?
Okay, so when I first got there, so basically, before I even got to my seat, the media seat, I had to check in, obviously. Nobody could just go into a sporting event nowadays. I had to check in. They took my temperature, and they asked me a couple questions. They asked me if I've had any COVID-like symptoms within the past 14 days. I said no. They asked me if I took Tylenol or ibuprofen that day. I said no. And they asked me if I've been in contact with anyone who has tested positive for COVID. I sent out all of those. They said, okay, you're good. And then after that, I got another screening. They gave me a little, like one of those like wristbands, like the paper ones, kind of just like, you're good to go.
Let you know you're official.
Yeah, that I'm a quote unquote official, yeah. So I got my wristband. I said, thank you very
media
much.
Media coming through, I got my paper wristband.
I passed a temperature check, I'm all good. And obviously, you know, masks on at all times. So, go up to my seat. I got there early. The meet started at, I think it started at 3. It could be, let me double check on that.
I think it was 4 according to
It was 4.
The credentials that I got.
So I got there, it was 4:00. I got there at about, I want to say 3, like right around 3-ish. So I got there early. And off the bat, there was like nobody. And I was like, wow, this is cool. So, you know, I'm by myself. It's just so far in the stadium, it was just me. And it was obviously the gymnasts, they're warming up. And then like 10 feet away from me in the same like media box, there's two people. One's working the TVs, the Megatron.
Jumbotron?
We'll call it the Jumbotron, sure. Megatron's a Transformer.
The Megatron. I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, I was watching
the Optimus Prime reporters. View.
The Optimus Prime, if you will. Anyway, so he's covering the great episode so far. He's controlling the Jumbotron. And then the lady next to him, she's controlling the lights. So it was just them two for now, and then me. And then maybe 10-20 minutes passed. That's when the photographer started filling in. I know the gymnastics team, they have their own special photographer. And then there's a photographer that does for Oregon State Athletics. You know, so like there's about like maybe 3 or 4 photographers in total, all spaced out, obviously. And so I got there, I'm just chilling, doing my work. And then, so the gymnasts, they're warming up. And it's maybe about 3, 30, 40-ish.
Getting close to me.
Getting close. And they had to clear out. And I was like, what the heck, they're clearing out? Like, that's weird. And it turns out that there was, the sanitation team came on and they sprayed and wiped down everything that the gym has touched. Like,
oh, wow.
They sprayed them down, wiped everything down, sanitized everything. And I was like, okay, that's kind of smart. You know, yeah. Just like.
No, it makes sense. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think about it either, but yeah, sure enough. And then I had like a funny instance. I had two funny instances, actually. I had, Brady knows about them. I had one where
I know about it. I just didn't think you were going to fess up to it.
I'll fess up to it, sure. I had this interaction, if you will. We have this photographer on the team. Her name is Claire. And Claire has like short, it's like short blackish brownish hair, right? And obviously in the age of masks, it's hard to tell who people are when they're in public. So I see this person, and I'm like, hey Claire, waving from afar, mind you. Hey Claire. And she's looking around like, and just like goes back to like filming, whatever. Hey Claire. Looking around again. I was like, oh, interesting. And I was like, hey Claire, again.
A third time. Three times.
And then she looks and then she's like, are you talking to me? And I was like, yeah, you remember me, right?
Oh my God.
She was like, no, I don't. And I was like, well, I was like, I am so sorry. Continue on. So that was my first awkward instance.
You had told me the awkward thinking you saw Claire moment and didn't actually see Claire moment. I didn't know you did it. You talked to her three different times and it was, then got shut down all three times.
Yeah, it was awkward to say the least.
Persistent.
Persistent. I had to know. I was like, Claire, oh man, you know, I know you. You know represent. Me. Represent. It wasn't Claire. And then the other instance where I met Jade Carey, the Olympian.
Jade Carey.
Yeah. It was funny because I knew it was her because, like, and if you look at the roster photo, she's in like a little, like a bun on her hair. Mm-hmm. And I was like, bun, the eyes look familiar. And I was like, Jade Carey. And I was like, I don't know what possessed me, but I was like, are you Jade Carey? And she's like, yes, I am. And I was like, wow, I'm a huge fan of you because you're like one of the only American gymnasts who's qualified for the Olympics. She's like, oh, thank you, means a lot. And I was like, nothing too in detail because I just embarrassed myself, mind you, with Claire. So I didn't want to embarrass myself again in front of an Olympian.
Yeah, of course. Playing it safe.
Yeah, so I'll probably see her again Saturday when I go back for the gym meet versus Washington. But yeah, overall, just I was pretty spaced out from people. It was just me in the media box. And then two other reporters from K-Ball came and they kind of set their stuff down, but they had video cameras. So they went to go record. They were really out and about. And the rule is that you can't go, Gil, that's like upper level and like the lower level, obviously. Media personnel cannot go down to the lower level, like for anything. So all of us were like, not trapped, but we all just had to stay in the little upper area, which is fine with me because like, as like, media as a worker and as a fan, I normally sit there for like games, so it didn't bother me that much.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, overall, just like the rules are very like simple. Obviously, they're designed to keep you safe, and I felt very safe. And yeah, they did a good job of just making sure everybody stayed safe, protected. Everything went well. But yeah, just the gym, the meet was a very good meet overall. It was very, very interesting. Yeah, I'm just glad that gymnastics are back.
For those who don't know, first meet of the season was against Boise State, 30th ranked Boise State Broncos. We ended up getting upset in that game.
It was upset, yeah.
Our 13th ranked team, previously 13th ranked team. I don't know where we're at after the loss, but previously 13th ranked team ended up losing to Boise State. But gymnastics are still back.
Yeah, they're still back.
And
it was interesting.
I have a question for you about that. You've covered gymnastics meets in normal times, before times when we were allowed to, you know, be outside and around people, and then the current times where we're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
What kinds of differences are there to something like that?
Well, for one, obviously, mask wearing, that's a huge difference. I understand why. Obviously, keep us safe. And you mentioned earlier before, gymnastics is a sport where you rely heavily off of energy, you know, from the crowd, from yourselves. And yeah, that was huge because, you know, after every big play, after vault, when Maddie Bacon landed her vault, or Caitlin Yanish with their iconic floor routine, you know, it's like, obviously there's applause, there's cheers, but imagine that inside of Gil, where it's packed and it's like the roar. Like, I think I saw a video footage of like Isis Lowry landing a routine and just, you hear the crowd erupt. Or you can go on YouTube or like the Oregon State Athletic page and look up like old gymnastics videos and you hear like the place erupt. And yeah, that was definitely like, for sure, like weird.
Oh, I imagine it's so much different for the players. And that's something that we talked a lot about during the football season, leading up to the football season, about how we thought it would be weird to watch as a fan a football game of all things without fans in the stadium, without tens of thousands of people, you know, there just yelling, chanting, screaming, all of that stuff.
All the above.
For athletes, it's, I imagine, I don't want to speak on behalf of all athletes, me not being an athletic person myself. But I imagine it's something that really drives the way you perform, the way you play, is that energy from the fans. Do you think that affected anyone in the meet? You think that was kind of playing an impact?
Actually, I asked that same question to Caitlin Yanish. She's a gymnast. And she said that, she was like, everyone's saying that it feels like different, but in reality, it's not different to me because I'm with my team. This is just like practice. That's what she said. I'm with my team. Except this time we're just competing. And I was like, that's interesting because like a lot of athletes, even Maddie Bagan, one of them, she was like, this feels weird. You know, like, it's not like, oh my God, like it's really, really weird.
But right, not like weird. Everything's changed.
Yeah. But you know, different. She did say that the cardboard cutouts were a nice touch to us. And I agree.
I imagine it almost takes some of the pressure off though. Right. Like if you can just envision it just like practice, then you're not as worried about, I guess, messing up or making a mistake, and you can just go out there and trust that you have the support of your team, right?
Yeah, for sure. And they all did amazingly. Let me get my stat book real quick.
Please, by all means. And while you're doing that, I'll just ask you a question that I had, kind of a follow-up question. You referenced a couple names. Who kind of stood out to you? First meet,
definitely Christina Peterson. She is a junior, I believe. She's the only gymnast that went all around for this meet. So there was, really? she did vault, bars, floor, and beam. She's the only one that did all four events. And but she stuck out to me. I'm pulling out my stat book here. She scored a 9.725 on vault. She scored a 9.550 on bars. She scored a 9.750 on beam and a 9.700 on floor. So she scored pretty much above a 9.5 every single time.
On everything.
She
did it all.
And the max you can get is 10.
She herself is almost like a Swiss Army knife, would you say?
She herself is a Swiss Army knife. Yeah, it's incredible. And throughout the meet, Oregon State did look good, obviously. But one place that did struggle the most is bars. And that's mainly because Kayla Bird, she's a sophomore. She's the only gymnast returning from the 2019-2020 season for that lineup, for that specific lineup. So they had to, Tanya Chaplin had to create a whole new lineup for bars. And she said that, you know, she had to get people that have done bars before, but haven't trained in a while. You have to get sometimes gymnasts that have never done bars before. It's just, it's a new, new skill to learn, you know?
Yeah. Kind of an inexperienced group then.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah.
In other ways, not though.
In other ways, not. Cause obviously they've done the sport before, but you know, there are gymnasts that their primary focus is vault, or their primary focus is floor. And having gymnasts that only focus on bars is really, really, it's not common. Like if you look up the roster on the athletic page, it'll tell you what like their skills are at, you know, AA is all around, bars, so on. And not a lot of them say bars. So it was really tough. The lowest score Oregon State got was 8.875. And that was because Naya Mack it was pretty scary because Naya Mack, during her routine, she meant to grab the bar, but like she like slipped from her fingertips and like fell on the mat pretty hard too. So that was pretty scary. But I think, and Tanya said this too, I think that as the meets go on and as the season goes on, and just more practice, more confidence in themselves, I think they'll get better with just the bars event because they did score a 45.800 on the bars event. And the max you can get for a team in an event is a 50. So that kind of hurt them in terms of loss.
Right. And you mentioned going forward, and forgive me, I'm going to put you on the spot just a little bit. Think on your think on your toes. Think really quickly. But
right, I'm thinking.
You mentioned the team going forward. Well, where the team is going forward immediately is a meet this Saturday, this upcoming Saturday,
yes.
January 23rd, if you're listening in the future, against Washington.
Yep.
What are you looking for in meet number two? What are some things that you're looking for from the team?
Well, one thing for sure, too, even from last season to this season, one would argue that last season vault was their weakest area. This year, vault's one of their strongest areas. They scored a 49.050. And that's huge, you know, because vault definitely, you've seen vault before, right, Brady?
I think so.
It's like you run like, what is that? I'm really bad at measurement. 5 feet, maybe you run 5 feet, like land on the spring pad and like,
do oh yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm with you.
That's a hard skill to have for sure. But
everything they do is hard skill to have.
Fun fact, little side story. The first time I went to a gymnastics meet, and I covered one, I had an anxiety attack every single time like they were going, just because I was like, oh my God, they're gonna break something.
Don't hurt yourself, please. Be careful.
My eyes covered, like the one I opened that like, you could barely see.
Your recap for that event was just like, I don't know what happened. I was looking the other way the entire time.
Anyways.
I think we won. I'm not sure.
I think we won.
Everyone seemed happy.
But where was I? Oh yeah. So, I'm excited to see if there's going to be a change of lineup for Bars as well. Not saying that this lineup wasn't good, obviously they're good, but I want to see if Tanya sees like some potential or spark in some other athletes as well. And I'm really excited to see just all the freshmen too. For example, Sydney Gonzalez, she's a freshman. Her sister's on the team actually, Lexi Gonzalez. She went on vault, her very first Oregon State meet, and she scored a 9.825.
Damn.
Exactly.
Darn. Shoot.
But yeah. And she only went, she went on beam too. 9.750.
Wow.
So I think she's going to be one.
First meet in college, right?
First meet in college, yeah.
Wow.
And mind you, it's with her sister. That's pretty cool. But so I think she's going to make huge impacts in terms of just in the future. But we're talking about now. And I'm excited to see Bars for sure, like where the lineup, if the lineup changes, where they stand. Floor routine is always my favorite just because these girls always have like some like pizzazz and like action in their routine. So that's pretty cool to watch. But yeah, I'm excited to see just where they grow and elevate from here.
I have one last question that's very unrelated to gymnastics, but still related to something that you said earlier in this Q&A section. Did they really take your temperature when you got to the stadium?
Yeah, they did.
How?
It was like
they have just like a bunch of disposable thermometers on deck.
Actually, no, it was like, I don't know if you've seen it. It's like, it looks like a laser gun.
Oh, like it's almost like one a radar, the, and like they,
yeah,
they like pointed those, at you.
It was like, so it was funny. So I got there, I'm like, you know, like, oh, I'm here for the meet. And then he was like, oh, okay. He asked for my name, got my name down. Then he said, come here. And I was like, huh? And then he pulls it out. I'm like, what is that? So I'm like freaking out because I'm thinking
like the Men in Black like memory wiper thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the nail gun that they use for cows. I'm like, no, what is going on? And then he said, come here. And it was funny because so he doesn't put it on my forehead, but it's like you can feel it. And I got the biggest heart attack. So he put it and it goes beep 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 beep. And I'm like, what? And he was like, oh, the battery's dead. And I was like, dude, come on.
Wait, you think you had like 103 degrees?
I had like 117. I was like, I feel fine. I'm like, touch my forehead. He was like, the battery's dead. I was like, great. Thanks, man.
I really have a fever. I don't feel it.
Then he changes it and he's like, okay, 97.1. You're chilling. Sweet. I'm like, I got the biggest heart attack. I was like, no.
I got to go back home. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I was like, I'm going to go like lock myself in my room.
I've exposed all these people.
I was like so scared. I was like, but yeah, well, it took my temperature. And yeah.
I'm glad you ended up fine. And I'm glad that you ended up being able to go. It sounds like a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun for sure.
Hopefully we'll bounce back this week with a win against Washington. Any final gymnastics thoughts for the good of the order?
If you guys ever get the chance to watch or attend a gymnastics meet, highly recommend it. I remember, I don't know. Honestly, I'm going to answer this. I get asked a lot why I cover gymnastics a lot. And in reality, I cover a multitude of different sports. I cover football, basketball, wrestling, gymnastics. I do it all, Mr. Swiss Army Knife. And I don't know why. It's like, for me, gymnastics is like, it's a cool sport. And I feel like it doesn't get a lot of attention. And I'm always big on giving sports attention. Brady can attest to this. But I'm always huge on like giving sports attention they need. It's an underrated sport. And I kind of do my best because I wrestled in high school. No one really knew about us. So I kind of do my best to just give attention to those sports because all athletes, I've read about this before. Athletes are athletes. They work the same amount of time, put the same amount of effort, energy, blood, sweat, tears to their sport. And gymnastics is no different. In fact, I think it's one of the hardest sports out there to go and do because you can't really just like, oh, let's go play gymnastics, you know? So it's like, that's why I cover it a lot. And, I remember my friend took me to the gymnastics before I joined OMN. My friend took me to a gymnastics meet here. It was like an exhibition or something like that. And I went and I was like, holy, you know what? This is cool.
Family friendly show.
But yeah. Holy fudgesicles. This is cool. This is cool. And I was like, this is so cool. And then I remember Alex, when meetings were in person, Alex was like, anybody want to cover? Is there anything anyone wants to cover? Ideas? And I was like, there's a gymnastics meet this week. I really don't think we cover gymnastics. And she's like, okay, go do that. So I did that. And I ended up doing the rest of them. There was like 4 to 5 meets. And I was like the guy for gymnastics. I remember just like, I'm like, wow, this is cool. You know, like, cause like I cover basketball, I cover wrestling. And the sport I feel the most confident covering is gymnastics. And I really don't know why. That's really? Just like, yeah, it's weird because I feel like I'm the most comfortable with it. I know what I'm talking about in terms of like points, routines, sets, skills. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know why I cover it. It's just, it's my thing, I guess. It's just, I just enjoy it the most. And yeah, I mean, hope that answers any questions out there as to why I cover it.
It's a really good point that you made a little bit earlier where like, you know, if you have a couple friends and given this is all hypothetical when things are normal and safer, you have a couple friends in a basketball, you just like run over to the park real quick and play and, you know,
exactly,
play a game of pickup. You have like a football, mm-hmm. you can just like go toss it around in the park or whatever. No one out there is like, hey, we should just go do a bars routine real quick.
I got this balance beam in my backyard.
Let's go do some of that. I think the gymnastics, I mean, like it's like you said, it doesn't get a ton of national media attention, but it's one of the most like physically demanding, physically impressive to watch sports. I mean, you were talking about how you're having anxiety attacks every time someone's about to do anything. I mean, that doesn't
that's so true to this day. I still get
basketball every like time it's just because like it's just it feels like such a spectacle and like such a show.
Yeah, they're so nice. Tanya Chaplin, Michael Chaplin, they're nice people. Love talking to them. I remember when everything was normal and Tanya was out because she had some medical issues. Every single meet I would go to Michael. I'm like, hey Michael, how's Tanya doing? And he's like, she's doing good. So I pretty much became invested in this sport and they all know me pretty well. Like, remember when I did the interview with Isis Lowry, she was like, oh, no problem. You've covered it before. So you know what you're talking about. And I was like, oh, cool. And then,
you're like an honorary gymnast.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, you're like an honorary part of the team.
Yeah, pretty much. And they're so nice. Christina Peterson, Maddie Dagan, Caitlin Yanish. They're all very nice people. Very, very nice. Like they give good quotes too. And I love like hearing their answers just because I can go on and on about what like I love the Oregon State Gymnastics program. But yeah, I don't want to spend too much of the time.
Like, that was a very writer and answer. That I love that they give good quotes. I love that they're good in press conferences.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, so I'm gonna give you a little insider. So what I do before I write an article is I go through the presser and I write down all the quotes that are interesting. And literally Tanya Chaplin's quote was like at least half a page long. And I was like, wow, I want to use all this, but I don't want to give Brady a headache when he's editing. So I got to go back and like dissect part of it.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. But yeah, just I can say plenty of good things about the program, the sport. I mean, I guess I'm rambling about it now, but I think another one of my favorite aspects is like they really are a family. you know, and you see that a lot with Oregon State Athletics. You know, Alex Austin, talk to him about football. They're my brothers. Wayne Tinkle talks about his team, my family. Women's basketball, their slogan is, "We are a family." Have the shirt, by the way. Love that shirt. And it's like the gymnastics team, they call it the Beaver Bubble. And I love that because, like, wow, that's cool. You know, it's like, and it's true. You see that. You, if you ever go to gymnastics meet, you'll see like the gymnast doing her floor routine, right? And on the side, you'll see like the girls replicating it, mm-hmm. you know, like little movements, little side movements. And it's just, it's so fun to watch because like they interact well, they flow. It's like gel, they flow together. And it's just, it's a spectacle to watch.
Right. By building a culture.
Building a culture, yeah. So yeah, talk about gymnastics. Obviously, I gave my more than 2 cents. I'll say my 10 cents on it. But there's another sport that they just had their schedule released, and it's volleyball. Volleyball just had the schedule released. I think last week, by the time of this recording, it was last week. Could be wrong. Maybe early this week. I'm not sure, but it's released. So it's here.
Starting really soon. And by really soon, really I mean soon. 2 days from when we're recording, which we're recording on January 20th. First volleyball game, January 22nd against Colorado. Oh, yeah.
Colorado, yeah. That's going to be – well, I'm really – personally, I'm really excited because I wrote an article about Maddie Goings, and I asked her, it's like, how are you so being positive, you know, because like there's no schedule release, may not have a season, and she was just like, oh, I just know. And I was like, oh, okay. And sure enough, she got the prediction right. So
yeah, here we are. We are playing volleyball. It's yeah. It's something that I quite honestly did not expect to happen, at least this soon.
Me neither, just because there's a lot of sports that they didn't have. Like soccer is another example. They don't have a schedule release later on either.
Well, in football, or excuse me, when the Pac-12 came back in a tentative way with football and then basketball down the road, it really seemed like those were the only sports they were going to prioritize. It really seemed like it was going to be like a football and basketball, and then everything else comes back when the world is like more at peace and more normal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we're getting things again. Like yeah. I mean, we just got done talking about gymnastics. Wrestling is back. I mean, they've been back yeah. for a while, at least a little bit. And now volleyball starts in 2 days this
two
week.
2 days. That's honestly pretty cool.
And we have not a full schedule. Obviously, they're only doing Pac-12. But I mean,
it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. And we get weekends of volleyball from middle of January all the way down to the start of April. It's exciting.
That's a nice little stretch of volleyball right there.
It's a nice little stretch of volleyball. And I, you know, I just, similar to what you're watching for in the next gymnastics meet, what are you just looking for in this volleyball schedule? What kind of games are you looking at here?
Well, first off, it's going to be a tough schedule overall for these Beavers because I believe last season, not mistaken, they went 9-22 overall.
9-22, yeah.
9-22. They were, I think, 2-8 at home, 2-12 when they were away, and the rest were neutral, 5-2. So I'm really excited to see where they pick up from because I know, obviously, like, they were working really hard. You know, granted, like, Maddie Goings is like, we may not have the season announced, but we're still working hard because this is what we love to do, and they're doing just that. So I'm really excited to see just where they pick up off of from last season and just these matchups. Like, I see these matchups, like, they sound like pretty good matchups.
It's all Pac-12 schedule.
It's all Pac-12. And as you know, the Pac-12 conference, you know, anything can happen. For example, Stanford lost to Colorado women's basketball. Oh, my goodness. Anything can happen in this conference, you know.
Anything can happen in – I don't know. It's scary, though. It's scary, right?
It is scary.
I'm looking at these teams, and a lot of them are just really good. Yeah. They're really good. We have, I mean, the matchup that I'm looking, staring right at is February 26th and then February 22nd, or 27th, rather, the day after. Two games against Stanford, who isn't bad at the whole volleyball thing. They went 30-4 last year and ended on a 17-game winning streak.
30-4?
They went 30-4.
Damn.
Which is pretty good.
I think they're pretty good at volleyball.
Not bad.
I think they know what they're doing.
It's all right for the old Stanford Cardinal. Yeah,
that's insane. I don't know that.
And it's, I mean, like 30-4 and NCAA champions, excuse me, for the second straight year.
No big deal.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, like, you know, what's there to worry about?
What's there to worry about
with this Stanford team?
That's going to be a tough. Last year against Stanford, they lost both both games, and they lost 3-0. So they didn't even score a set. They didn't score. Yeah. They didn't win a set against either of them.
I mean, it's rough. It's that's just the Pac-12. That's just the nature of the Pac-12. And I mean, obviously, those are the poster children for success at being the reigning national champions for 2 years in a row. But you look across the schedule, and there's not a ton of easy outs. We have rivalry weekend against the Ducks.
That's the one I'm excited for the most.
Yeah, I mean, I mean,
obviously because it's you know, a state rivalry.
It felt like cheating to pick the Oregon games.
Yeah, I mean, but. Look at do you remember last year's game? It was at home.
Take me through it.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Let me tell you about this game. So I didn't go, obviously, because I think that week, that was like the first week of classes, and like me being a freshman, I'm getting used to everything. So I didn't go. But I heard about it, and I was like, why didn't I go? So pretty much from what I've heard, Oregon State was actually down in sets. Okay. So like, for those who don't know, it's a volleyball game. It's five sets, first to three. And they were down, I'm not sure if it was 2-1 or 2-0, but they pretty much came back and won the whole thing. And that was at home too. So that was huge. And Oregon at the time, they were ranked 24 in the country. So they beat their first home game and they beat a ranked opponent and their rival. So that's pretty cool. And the highlights, if you look on YouTube, the highlights, oh my goodness, just the crowd eruption, it was huge. And yeah, that game was definitely one of my favorites.
So I mean, it's going to be
to hear about.
It's going to be a fun one to watch again, too, because if I'm not mistaken, Oregon should be pretty good once again, you know, in tune with the rest of the Pac-12 conference. Yes. It's just a tough schedule.
It is a tough schedule, man.
But at least we know who it is. And I guess it wouldn't hurt to walk everyone through it since we just have it right here in front of us.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt.
I can run through real quick just for the people. So January 22nd and January 24th, we have the Colorado games in Colorado for anyone interested. And then the rest of the way, it looks like it staggers. So we have
it does stagger a little bit.
Yes, so we have the Colorado games on the road, and then it's home games, and then it's away games, and so on and so forth until we get to the end here. USC January 29th to January 31st, Washington on February 4th and February 6th, Arizona State February 11th, February 12th, and then it's Arizona, and then the Stanford games, which I was just talking about, is super exciting. California. Washington State, Oregon games, and these are different. The first game against Oregon is in Eugene, second one is in Corvallis, and then UCLA, and then we end with Utah on April 1st and April 3rd. Good stuff.
Scary stuff.
it's just if you had a motto for our podcast, I think it would just be, I'm just happy sports are back, right?
That's
like kind of the essence of every one of our conversations is at least sports are back. That's how I feel once again. And it's, you know, it's a little bit weird looking at a schedule. It's just conference play, just like it was for football. Mm-hmm. Not just like for basketball, but I mean, a lot more conference play than a lot of out of conference play.
One thing that strikes me is like kind of weird. It's like, for example, the Colorado games, it's January 22nd, which is a Friday. Mm-hmm. And then it's January 24th, which is a Sunday. But then if you scroll down to, where's Arizona State? It's February 11th, which is a Thursday. And then February 12th, which is a Friday. So there's some games and sometimes where they have a day in between.
That is interesting.
And other times where it's like back to back.
It's like that for the Stanford games too. Not really a day of rest in between. It's you're playing on Friday and you're playing the day after on Saturday.
That sounds intense. I mean, my experience with volleyball is like, I just played it with my teammates back when we were at the beach. Only experience I've ever had, but I've never played it competitively, but I just imagine that it's going to be a grueling and grinding sport. So
my experience with volleyball is always hurting my fragile little arms trying to hit the ball.
And a spike in your hands, like red. It's like, oh,
yeah,
that's
I mean, it, exactly. Like feeling like I was going to like bruise my forearms every single time I touched it. that was what high school gym was like for me.
Gymnastics?
No, just regular like PE. I'm not a gymnast.
You said gym. So
I am not flexible enough for that.
Me neither, man. I was. Fun fact, I was able to do the splits one time.
Really?
Yes. And wow. Then I lost that flexibility when I came to college because food is good. But yeah, so.
I think we're close to like, maybe not close to an hour of recording, but we've been going for a while. You could kind of hear it in the conversation here. We're kind of using it a little bit.
I know.
There is one more point we wanted to hit on after gymnastics and after volleyball schedule, which was another delay to women's basketball.
Unfortunately, there has been another delay for the women's basketball program, and this time it wasn't our fault. It was that sounds really mean, but
it was really combative the way you phrased that.
I'm emphasizing it wasn't our fault. So yes. Literally, I think what is it, how many days are we fresh off a game, like two from the time of this recording? Mm-hmm. Like two, three games of Sunday. So yeah, 3 days off, fresh off a game, a loss, mind you. And just before that game, we've had 6 games postponed because of COVID-19 protocols.
It was nearly a full month, by the way.
Nearly a full month, yeah.
Between games. It was the game, the last game we played before the 6-game postponement was December 20th. And then the next one was January 17th.
Yeah, that's nearly a month.
Yeah.
And then all of that turned around and realized that Oregon State women's basketball game versus Washington is postponed because the Huskies have some COVID-19 problems. And that's got to be a tough one for the Beavers and Scott Rick.
Do we know if these games are getting postponed or canceled? Like, well, I think on the schedule it says they're being postponed.
It says postponed, yeah. But then you think about it, and it's like, if the Pac-12 championships, if they start in March, and Oregon State women's basketball, they've had, 7 games postponed now. Are you already? Like, realistically, is there going to be enough time to play all those games and still be in time with the championships?
I don't know how you're supposed to make up those games unless you're doing it after the Pac-12 championship. But even then you have NCAA championships starting, and it just, the timeline just doesn't make a whole lot of sense for making up these games. So realistically, you could have a season that, I mean, at best there's 10 games left, right? Not including this one that just got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a schedule that's just 17 games, which is, it's kind of crazy to think that we started this season in late November, if I'm not mistaken. And
late November. Yep.
Here we are a little over the midpoint in January, and we've played 7 games as a team.
Yeah, and then we have a losing record.
We have a losing record for, I believe...
We're 3-4.
I believe if
I... Our streak is losing. We lost our last 4 games.
Correct me if I'm wrong, audience, or Andres, if you know, but I believe this is the first time our team has had a losing record just at any point in the season since 2013.
Yeah, I think you're right on, actually.
If I'm not mistaken. We've just been so consistently good for so consistently long. And, I mean, maybe the writing was on the wall for this. Maybe I was a little bit optimistic heading into this season when you lose so many key contributors, like, I mean, Mikhail Pivik and Destiny Slocum being the big ones, but it's hard to replace Kat Tudor too. It's hard to replace Maddie Washington, especially when your team is so young, and especially when you're coming into a season where everything is just wonky where and
every
strange.
Game matters.
And I don't want to make any excuses, of course, but like it's weird when you're Oregon State, which consistently has one of the best fan turnouts in the country for women's basketball, and then you just don't have that home court advantage anymore, and then it's just dead silent except for the cardboard cutouts. Yes,
just like one of them falls over,
and that's the noise you get.
That's the noise you get.
I think it should be someone's job to like go push over the cardboard cutouts and try to like make like a sound, like, try to
like
get some energy,
like dominoes,
in the crowd.
Like push them over.
Yeah, just keep knocking them down.
But yeah, so this game, because Washington got postponed, and because of that, we haven't played Washington at all this season. Mm-hmm. Because the game, obviously, it was postponed. That was supposed to be at Washington on December 21st, got postponed, and now January 22nd got postponed as well.
And now you're looking at the next game on our schedule, if we play it.
Which I think we will. But
it's against Washington State,
yep.
Who you've lost to already in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Who was ranked at some point. I don't think they are anymore, but they're still.
Oh, really?
That doesn't take away. I could be completely wrong about that. Now you have me doubting myself. Either way, it doesn't. Yeah, they're not ranked. Okay. It doesn't take away from just how good of a team they are. I mean, they beat us earlier.
Yeah.
They beat us earlier. And you could be looking at a season where you start 3-5 a year after you go 15-0 to start the year. It's just kind of crazy. And I don't think that Oregon State's schedule has done them any favors. I mean, of course, the Pac-12 just being as dangerous as it is with so many good teams, but also just, I mean, it's not easy to go a month in between games and then just like jump back into it against a team like Arizona was their first game back, by the way, who's a top 10 ranked opponent. It's not easy to just be like, all right, have fun.
Like throw them to the wolves. Here you go.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. But I mean, there's still time though. There's still time to get everything back on track.
I'm really concerned that just like, there's so many games postponed. It's just, there's like, realistically, you're not going to be able to fit all these unless they play like Friday, Sunday, squeezing like a Tuesday, Wednesday game, maybe. But even then playing three times in 1 week, that's got to be grueling on athletes. And that's
I can't imagine.
I can't imagine that.
They could do something like that. That just seems too hard on the players.
Well, it's like athletes want to, but even then it's like, I mean, obviously they want to get more games in, but they got to worry about themselves too. Cause like, playing more games, you have more chance to hurt yourself, hurt the season, and it's tough.
It's tough,
really, and especially because we haven't played Washington, that affects seeding as well. Because like the panelists will be like, oh, what if they beat Washington? Like, what if, you know, there's like a bunch of what ifs that's going to affect the rankings as well.
That's the thing about playing in the Pac-12 is that you have so many chances throughout the schedule of being able to prove yourself against a top tier opponent. So many of the teams in the conference are so good that if you're one of these bubble teams, like Oregon State might be, which is weird to say.
Yeah, it's weird to say, but you're right.
I mean, like we're just so used to being just like a lock for one of the top four
seeds. I know.
In NCAA. Now we're looking at a season where we might be on the cusp. And when you're one of those teams that's on the cusp sitting there around like 500-ish, maybe a couple of games above 500, if you could point to your schedule and say, okay, but they beat this ranked team and this ranked team and this not ranked but still really solid team, they should be in. And when you get so many games canceled, you don't get a chance to do that or prove yourself. And it is a lot of like the what ifs, you know, like what if Oregon State got a chance against this team and they were able to, you know, prove themselves? Maybe that would be the push they needed, but it's not looking like they're going to get as many chances as they would.
Yeah, they're really in a pickle at this
point. I
really don't know how or if they're going to get out of it, because obviously, you know, it's going to be skewed by the records, so that's going to affect everything. But yeah, it's tough unless Oregon State just pops off and wins all the games like on the road or whatever.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for.
I do too, yeah.
We could just like, you know, catch a hot streak and win the next 10 if we end up playing our next 10 games.
And that would just like immediately like say a tournament, number one seed.
Then don't have to worry about it, you know.
Exactly.
Start 3-4, but doesn't even really matter, you know.
Well, that too, and like I know, like especially like in terms of seeding, home wins matter a lot more for some reason, which makes sense. But yeah, home wins matter a lot, and only two games I got postponed. Well, three. Got postponed, and imagine if we would have won those games, how that would affect our seeding in the conference.
It's a weird situation.
It is a weird situation.
Is for this entire year, but I'm just hoping that some things level out as we go forward.
I think we all are.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Is that it?
I think we covered everything. I think we've covered our spiel about different sports that are cool.
Do you have somewhere to be?
I
hear your phone blowing up over there.
My mom's texting me. I'm sorry. Actually, no, it's my little brother. He said that he solved a Rubik's Cube today.
Let's go. Okay, Andres' brother. Let's
still
go.
Still working on mine.
You got one side, right? You got one side figured out?
Well, I tried solving the other side to scramble it, and then it just like broke apart, and now I'm stuck in. So...
before this thing goes off the rails any further, you opened us up. You want to close us out?
Sure, I'll close us out. So thank you guys for tuning in. It means a lot that you heard us talk about our opinions on different sports and me rambling about a bunch of different sports. And when you tune in again, we'll be talking about different things. I'm not sure yet, but we'll figure out eventually.
We'll figure it out. We're improvisers.
Yeah. But anyways, thank you guys so much for watching, and have a good morning, afternoon, night, whenever you'll be listening to this. Thank you guys again.
See you guys.